Well, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
It's crazy that it's 2021. You know, for a guy that was born in the 70s, it's unbelievable that somehow you guys laugh about that. Okay. Let's do this. As we continue our study now, after Christmas and New Year's, we will go back to our study in the book of Luke. If you'll turn there, chapter 5. As I was looking at verses 27 through 39 to complete this week, I've got to admit I got stuck on verses 27 and 28. And so that's what we're going to look at today. I pray the message would be a blessing to you. But I do believe it's one from the Lord's heart for us to consider. And you'll see what I mean as we go through this. So if you got your Bible open to verse 27, chapter 5 of Luke, let's start there. Notice it says, after these things, he, which we know is Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. Well, according to Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, we know that this Levi is another name for Matthew. And so we know that it's Matthew that we have there. But things to note here, that word saw. When Jesus went out, I believe he went out with a purpose. And he went purposefully to have this meeting with Matthew. And when that word that you see there in the original language, what it means is that he saw with his physical eyes, but he saw beyond that. He had understanding of who Matthew was. He knew Matthew's need. He knew what Jesus knew what he wanted to say and do in Matthew's life. So it's a strong word that is used there that means just a lot more than just physically seeing someone or something. So we see again after these things, he, Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector. He thought all of this, and he knew who Matthew was. As you know, Matthew was Jewish. He was a tax collector. In other words, from his people, he would receive tax for the Romans. But most tax collectors, and no doubt Matthew was the same way, they would charge the people a little more than the tax that they were supposed to pay. And he would keep that to himself. It was a common thing back in those days. I wasn't back there then, okay? I really wasn't, okay? I read about this part, okay? And so, you know, that they would do at that point. So he was not a liked man. Matter of fact, the Jewish people looked down on him greatly. But here's Jesus getting up, I guess. I don't know, after these things, maybe not getting up. His day had begun there and he's going on. He went, you know, with a purpose. He went with a purpose. Saw Matthew, a tax collector. Notice sitting at the tax office. And I found this interesting as I was just kind of meditating on this single verse right here and all that. Jesus didn't hold back. Sometimes we have a respecter of persons that goes on in our lives. Sometimes the positions that they hold or where they live or whatever it could be. And it keeps us from doing what the Lord might want us to do. And so here, Jesus, it didn't matter to Jesus. He was on a purpose. He knew what he had a purpose. He was on a journey and he wanted to confront, really, Matthew and bring him into the fold at this point. And so he came, saw him sitting at the tax office, went straight to him, and notice what he said to him, simply, follow me, follow me. And we're going to look at what that means in just a moment, but I pray that it would be a good time for all of us to reflect upon this single thing in the message. What does follow me mean to me? If Jesus would say, follow me, to us anew and fresh today, what would that look like? How would we respond? What might he say to us? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But then in verse 28, notice what Matthew did. And it just blows me away. So he left. What's the next word? And as we know, all means. But I got a surprise for you guys. I actually thought about looking up the word all. And I thought, oh, I know what it's going to mean. In all these years, I've never looked up all. I haven't looked it up. And so I looked it up. Do you guys want to know what it means? Okay, I'll get to that in a moment. So he left all. He left all. Are we willing to do that today? I'm not saying that he'll send us to Siberia like he did to David Markey. I'm not saying that he'll send us to Cambodia like he did with Joe Mann. He and his wife just moved to Cambodia because they have a burden for the slave, those that are trapped in the sex trafficking things over there. Has a burden for him, moved over there. He can send us. Are we willing to go if he says, follow me to our neighbors? Are we willing to go if he says, follow me to your family? Whatever it is. He can just come to us at any time. That's the point that I'm making. And just say, follow me. Follow me. Notice, he left all, rose up, and followed him. Followed Jesus. And so, in our walks with the Lord, there are times when God gives us an invitation, like here in Matthew, a call to follow him. One invitation or calling is to receive him as our Savior. I wasn't really comfortable with where our message was this morning or last night. I just wanted to go to bed anyway, and I set to get up early, and I got up and I kind of wrote this down that I'm just sharing at this point, and I believe it captures where we're going and what we're going to say. Again, one invitation or calling is to receive him as our Savior, the Savior of our lives. I imagine most of us that are here have made that decision. Praise the Lord, right? Can anybody say praise the Lord with me?
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Be Pentecostal now, okay? A little more Pentecostal. We need to do that. And so we see one invitation is to become, for him to become our Savior that we must respond to. But I find, maybe at the same time, maybe a little after that, maybe, yes, continuously, there's another call that goes on in our lives. And that invitation or call is to allow Jesus, God, to be the Lord of our lives. And I believe it can happen at any moment, the moment of salvation too. But I also find that this second calling is a calling of lordship. It's calling of lordship that can take place through our lives as we walk with him in many different ways and times. It's a very important call that we respond to, because at times he'll do that. You know, we're saved, praise the Lord, right? Okay, but he'll come to us and he'll say, am I your Lord? And then we're going to talk about that, what that means. If he is our Lord, what does that look like? And how are we to respond? And how does he equip us to walk in that way in our lives with him? It would be nice if this second calling of lordship would be total at the moment of salvation, but in practical living, I don't find it to be that way. There's a doctrine called lordship salvation. I don't want to offend anybody that embraces that, but I do not embrace that. I'm not against you if you do embrace that, but I don't find it to be, in as I study Scripture, to be true. Lordship salvation is either Jesus is the Lord of your life, and that he is totally the Lord of your life. There's no backsliding. There's no struggles. I shouldn't say there's no struggles, but there's no backsliding and all that, and he's just your Lord from the very get-go. And I find that there's struggles that way. I find that there's challenges that way in people as they walk with Christ. I know there have been in my life, and I know there's other. And I find that there's times, too, that he'll come to me and he'll say, okay, Bill, am I your Lord? And I say, yes, Jesus. And he really goes deep into my heart and says, well, I want this of your life, or I want you to go here. It's time to change. I want you to go from San Diego to Indianapolis. I want you to, whatever it may be, different things that he will do. And it's an issue of lordship. It's a beautiful time, but it's a challenging time to go through that. And that's the way of life. I find a progression in life, in the life of a believer, that is vital for us to understand. Again, some call it the sanctification process. Some call it the lordship process. But whatever we call it, its bottom line has to do with allowing God to be in control of our lives. Absolutely in control of our lives. God, Jesus, came up to Matthew and he said, follow me. He didn't put any limits on that I can tell. He just said, follow me. Matthew, you have a choice. Follow me. And then somewhere in the midst of that, him sitting at that tax collection booth, whatever it is, he made a decision, I'm going for it. Now, I don't know if Matthew had bumped into Jesus before. He might have heard about him and all, but there it is in this situation that we see. And Matthew, just look at it again. He says, he left all. He left all. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to rise up and follow Jesus? Very, very important that we would do that. Whatever we call it, as I say, the bottom line has to do with allowing God to be in control of our lives. For if he is not in control of our lives, who is? I'm seeking an answer. We are. And that's dangerous. I found out that when I am, it's very dangerous. And I just want him to be the Lord of my life. Paul addressed this process that we're talking about as we go through walking as a Christian. You know, there's salvation, there's lordship. We get that challenge right away as a Christian too in so many different ways. But we grow in that process, I believe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's a process that goes on. He comes into our hearts and he can change at any time. Neil Gake came up and gave the announcement. A lot of you guys don't know Neil, but he was a pastor there in, of all places, New Jersey. Good things can come out of New Jersey, okay? They can. If you don't know, that's where I'm from, okay? Y'all, yous guys, you know, all of that. And so God just came to these guys and just said, I'm going to make a change. And they had to consider Indianapolis? Are you kidding me? You know, that's where you want us to go? And he shared his testimony. And so many of you have gone through the same things, you know? Is that what you want to do, Lord? Is that what you're really asking me to do? And so Matthew might have gone through that in his own mind, but he left all. Then he got up and followed Jesus. You guys get it? That's part of the challenge for us today as we go into 2021. What will the Lord come to us and say, follow me about? Now, are we prepared? We're going to talk about that to do that. Although today's message is not a new message, I believe it's a timely message from the Lord. Our world has changed radically in 2020. Amen? And I believe we must be ready for what is ahead of us as we proceed into 2021. We must be ready. And to accomplish this, our foundation must be a strong spiritual one that we can stand upon. This foundation is very important. I just want to point out three things that I feel that are foundational for our lives. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just going to point out three things that I believe that are foundational in our lives that God will build upon as we stand upon. And the first one is an awareness that there's a battle. We must be aware there's a battle. We cannot hide our heads in the sand. If you guys haven't sensed it, I encourage you to pay attention. I'm not looking down at you. I'm not speaking down at all. I'm just trying to encourage us to see what is going on. There is a tremendous battle going on for souls of people. For souls of people. Truly there is. It's not about Republican, Democrat, Independent, and all that. That's all part of what's in the midst of the whole thing. It's beyond that. It's behind the scenes even more. Powerful people are in positions that are orchestrating certain things. And right behind that is a guy named Lucifer, the devil himself, because he wants to rip off the souls of people. We're in the midst of it. So we must be aware there's a battle, and we must put on the full armor of God. That's foundational. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, chapter 6 of Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. That's what we're seeing. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We are, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, in an evil time. There's an evil day that we live in. And having done all, it says, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. A full armor of God, tied in with prayer. It's very, very important. So that's foundational for you and I. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Something else that I believe is foundational that we are to build our foundation upon is found in verses 16 and 17, where Paul the Apostle said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So for you and I, the Word of God is foundational so we can profit from it doctrinally, that he can use it to reprove us if he needs to do that, or correct us, or for instruction in righteousness. And what purpose? Verse 17, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete, mature, thoroughly equipped for just a few good works. Every good work, huh? Foundational. There's so many different things that are foundational that we stand upon. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4, please. Verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. See, this is foundational. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what is the result of standing upon this building, standing upon this foundation? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Has your peace with God been challenged at all during 2020? If we're honest, I think, well, I can't speak for everybody. Mine sure was. Lord, I like the way it used to be. I like that. I don't like all this craziness. It just doesn't seem systematic to me any longer. It's just changing. And there's that challenge to lose your peace. That's where prayer comes in. You go back, and that's foundational for each and every one of us. Jesus in Luke chapter 5, verse 27 said, follow me, and then verse 28, so Matthew left all, rose up, and followed him. Thus we find here a vital step in our building on the foundation that God has established in our life. We see it right here. The obedience, the surrender, the self-denial that is necessary. And so for a moment, let's consider what follow me, left all, rose up, and followed him means for us today. Now, so this is real tricky. This is really, you know, deep. What I did is I went to a dictionary, and I said, I'm going to look up the word follow. Okay? How deep is that? I mean, I am so scholarly. I really am. So I just looked it up. You guys want to hear what follow means? Because it's going to be required of us. It's required, all these things. I found 9 things follow means. Number 1, follow means to go. When Jesus said to Matthew, follow, we know the me part of it because it's Jesus. We would all agree with that. I'm going to follow Jesus, aren't you? Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, come on. Yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus. Okay, I got it down. I know who he is and all that. But follow, sometimes I've got to understand what it means. So follow means, first of all, to go. To proceed, to come after. So for us today, this means that we are to come after Jesus. That's what it means when he says follow. And he makes the application to our lives. Number 2, It means to engage in a calling or way of life. For us today, this means that we are to engage in a lifestyle that follows Jesus. If we're going to follow him, then we have to engage in a lifestyle that follows the example that he set for each and every one of us. That's what we have to do. We have to do that. If we're going to follow him, as Matthew said, okay, here am I, Lord, I'm going to follow you, Isaiah said. Number three, to walk or proceed along. And so for us today, to follow Jesus, this means that we are to proceed along and follow Jesus, as I mentioned. That's what we're to do. It means to act in accordance with. For us today, this means that we are to act in accordance with Jesus and his way. We're supposed to do that. If we are to follow, that's what it means. You look it up, guys. You find it and see if you find agreement with it. It means to accept as the authority in our lives. If we are to follow Jesus, he's to be the authority of our lives, not us. He is to be the authority of our lives. It means to seek to attain. For us today, this means that we are to seek to attain as much of Jesus as we possibly can. Amen? That's a good thing. As much as we can, Lord, whatever that means in my life, whatever that means in your life, whatever it is, it's not rules and regulations, it's not law, it's not working about by ourselves, it's by just falling in love with him, and we'll see what it means in just a moment too. It means to imitate. If we want to follow Jesus, we are to imitate. We are to watch steadily. I love this one. For us today, this means that we are to watch steadily and follow Jesus. Are we watching today? Are we wanting to follow Jesus? So to follow somebody, we've got to watch. And we've got to watch consistently and steadily and observe and be willing to do all that he wants us to do. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And lastly, it means to keep the mind on. For us today, this means that we are to keep our minds set upon Jesus. Is that easy? No, because there's a lot going on in this planet. There's a lot going on, and he wants us in the midst of all that's going on, but he wants our minds stayed upon him. We walk into a room, and we realize, Lord, you've got me here for some reason. What is it that you might want me to do? Back in the good old days, when we could go on hospital visits and visit a person, one of my favorite things, and I've mentioned this before, was to go to visit that person. But then as I left that person, I go, okay, Lord, what other reasons might you have for me being in this hospital? You know? And many times, there were other reasons. Somebody would walk down the hall. I would hear something and go talk to a person. I loved that, just being there to keep my mind on Jesus, steadily to see what he is doing. Paul gave us a great example of what it means for us to follow Jesus and leave all in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, that says this. Paul said, but none of these things, remember, they were trying to say, don't go up to Jerusalem because they're going to kill you up there. But he said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry that I received from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. What an example. That's what it means to follow. No matter what the cost would be, no matter what it is. Lord, I'll go to Cambodia. Joe, I talked to Joe, man, when he was going there, and he knew the potential. What they'll do is they'll go right into the very bars that are there, that they've got the people that they're using for solicitation for profit, and they'll go in and they'll try to meet with the people that are in that situation, and say, we've got a way for you out of this. Would you come? But the people that are doing that for a profit are aware that there's people like Joe that come in there. And if they find them, many have been beat up. Some have been killed. And so Joe and his wife had to make a decision. Is this what you want, Lord? Is this where we are to follow you? They didn't count their life dear to themselves. And that's a challenge to us today. It truly is. As a side note, as I said, I looked up the definition of awe. You guys ready? Awe. Here's what it means. I was surprised. Not totally surprised, but I was surprised there was a definition. This number one means two things that I found. The whole, all means the whole of one's energy or interest. And so when he says, forsake all or follow me, you know, and give all, leaving all that we see here, the whole of one's energy or interest. That's who we are. The interest of the mind, the energy of the body. We're to yield it to the Lord. It can be played out in, for instance, homeschool. Many in our church, and I'm very thankful for this, are called as homeschool parents. I love that. I really do. Because they give of their lives in that sense. Their time, their energy. There's others that are doing it in their workplace. Many are doing it in their studies. Number two, what does all mean? Giving their all for what one believes in. That's what we should be doing. We believe in Jesus, then we give all for what we believe in today. We believe in Jesus, don't we? Yes. Thank you for that one strong yes. Who was that? No. We do. We believe in him. So we are to give all. Again, it means the whole of one's energy or interest. The whole, giving all for what one believes in. There's other examples that I thought of is about leaving all. I thought of the rich young ruler. He had everything going for him, and he came to Jesus, it seemed, with good questions. Lord, what have I got to do? I want to go to heaven. What have I got to do? Then Jesus simply said, because he knew who this guy was, he knew what was in his heart, he knew what he was holding on to, says, hey, you got to sell all that you have. How to go at that point with that guy? He said, no way. Because he wasn't really, really willing to forsake all. We have to get to that point as the Holy Spirit leads us, not by our effort, not by our might, but as the Spirit leads us, we get to that point that we're willing, Lord, whatever all means, Lord, let it be in our lives. Think of in Luke chapter 14, we're told that we are to bear the cross of Christ. Simply, that's what it means in our lives. Obviously, what we are talking about is what is called self-denial. Scripture reveals to us that Scripture reveals to us that if we desire to deny ourselves for the glory of God, we must, number one, be obedient to God. If we desire that, Jesus said this, he says, if anyone desires to come after me, to follow after, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It means if we want to walk in self-denial, we are to be obedient people. There's no other way. We are to renounce all earthly things as God requires. In 1 John chapter 2, he says, don't get in the world. Stay away from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, it says that if we are desiring to have self-denial in our lives, we are to control, subdue fleshly appetites. In Galatians, as I said, chapter 5, verse 24, it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. To be a disciple is costly, is it not? It's challenging. But I have found nothing more exciting. How about you guys? Nothing more exciting than following the Lord. And when that voice comes and he says, follow me. Okay, Lord, where? Where? What does that mean at this point? Today, we have this day. Follow me. I mean, it can be as simple as he wants to take us to a restaurant, you know, and the person that's inviting you to go, they're going to buy. They're going to pay for your meal and all that. That's exciting, isn't it? But what's going to go on there? Lord, why am I going there? Why are you doing this? What's in the midst of this? I just want to follow you, Lord. I don't want to complicate it. It's just all this flow of walking with you, but it means a special thing. For Matthew, denying self and following Jesus meant that he must leave all and rise up and go from there where he was to where Jesus would lead him. It meant for Matthew to leave a life of worldly pleasure, to walk a life of suffering and persecution. He would lose his life for Jesus. And I pray that we will give up our lives for Jesus too. For Paul, it meant Philippians chapter 3, we're there, look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Paul goes on in verse 9. He says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's what it meant for Paul, to deny self and to leave all. Peter, remember Peter in John chapter 21? Peter said to Jesus, Lord, what about John? What about John? You've said what's going to happen to me. What about John? And what did Jesus tell him? Jesus just said, never mind, Peter. Pay attention to what I'm talking to you about. And for Peter, he just had to leave it and continue on. Stephen, what did it mean to follow Jesus? It meant that he would lose his life at a young age. For Jesus, it meant he had to step out of heaven. It can mean a lot of things. But the question for today is, what does it mean? What does it look like for us in our walks with the Lord? That's what I felt the Lord wanted us to consider today. What does it look like for us, new and afresh? Today, it's January what? 3rd. Before you know it, it's going to be December 31st. We're going to be heading into 2022, potentially, if Jesus doesn't come. Anybody want him to come now? It's crazy. What's going to happen between now and then? It has a lot to do with, Lord, what you want. How can I follow you? I want to surrender. I want to deny myself. What does it look like for us in our walks with the Lord? One of the best pictures I have found for what it looks like for us to live this life of self-denial, this life of surrender, is found in Romans chapter 12. Go there, please. Romans chapter 12. We're going to take communion in just a moment. Those that are at home, you can go and get some bread, some juice. Take communion with us, please. Romans chapter 12. To me, it's a picture of what it looks like for us to live this life of self-denial. Paul, starting in verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, this is what it looks like, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I can do that, can't you guys? Lord, I just present. I give you my life, Lord. I mean it in my heart. I don't know what it means, and I don't have the power to do that. I'm just going to trust in you. But here it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is what it looks like. They're holy, acceptable to God. Jesus has made it that way, which is, notice, our reasonable service or our act of worship. So, Lord, I can do that. I can present my life to you as my act of worship and trust you that you'll do what you only you can do. And notice verse 2, he adds to it, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen, Lord. Let it be. Let it be. Read this week, or today if you'd like, or this week, the rest of that chapter, and you see a greater picture of what it looks like there to live a life of self-denial. And so what does this life look like for us individually? It is a life that follows the example set by Matthew. He left all, rose up, and followed Jesus. Go with me in closing as we take communion here to John chapter 15, just for a moment. How are we to live? It gets down, like when I was studying, okay, Lord, how? I know a lot in Scripture. I'm not boasting or anything. But, you know, I've been around in Scripture, and I love you. What does it mean? How do I do this? And he brought me back to the simplicity of John chapter 15. Just the simplicity. That's where I'd like to leave us today. It says, I am, Jesus speaking, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. When you study that, you see that he prunes it so it can bring forth more fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Thank you, Lord. Abide in me. Okay, this is what I'm to do, Lord. If I'm to live this life of following you and to forsake all, deny myself and rise up and follow you, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So that's what I got to do, Lord. I just have to abide. I have to stay close. I have to follow all those things that we have spoken about. Then verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, you will, notice, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Look at that again, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you are my disciples. And so, today it's been really simple. A simple challenge that we see in Luke chapter 5. Jesus say, follow me. And Matthew set the example. He left all, he rose up, and he followed him. I'd like us to consider as we take communion, as the worship team come up right now, I'd like us to consider while we're singing, if today would be a time for us to simply say, Lord, I surrender all. Maybe you did it a month ago, but maybe we once again need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. I surrender everything for your glory. The Lord may be speaking to you about following him in some way. If you're not saved, I looked around and some faces I don't recognize. I believe it would be wise of you to follow him into salvation. But as we walk with him closer and closer, as the process of being conformed into his image, I believe he'll come to us and he'll simply say, follow me. Allow me to be the Lord of your life in every aspect of it, and I'll do the work for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the simplicity of your word. And I pray that as we sing this song, Lord, we might consider what it means in our life today to follow you, to surrender all. Lord, we pray as we take communion, we're mindful that the bread represents the broken body of Jesus. The juice represents his innocent blood that was shed for each and every one of us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that work. And what a privilege it is to know you, to walk with you. So bless this time now as you speak to our hearts and that we might cry out to you. In Jesus' name, amen.